The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations in the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today we're here talking with Stacy Kraft, who's our Public Health Education Coordinator. My colleague sits across the hallway from my office. And we're talking to you about an important health topic that you probably heard a lot about and one that deserves your attention, which is Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses. And probably in this time of the COVID pandemic, maybe talking about another illness is not something that you're looking forward to, but it's nonetheless important. And ticks are present in our environment in and around Ulster County. So Stacy, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well, thanks.
So Stacy, tell us why we should be so concerned about ticks.
Well, unfortunately, they didn't get the memo about social distancing. So aside from the revulsion that many people feel towards ticks, some species pose a risk to humans and animal health. So for instance, the black-legged tick can transmit several pathogens, most notably the Borrelia burgdorferi, which can cause Lyme disease in humans, dogs, and horses. Lyme disease in humans is a potentially debilitating disease that can cause long-term symptoms like fatigue, joint pain, arthritis, facial paralysis, and neurological disorders if left untreated. In dogs, the most characteristic sign is a shift from tiredness to lameness, and it's in rare cases leading to a form of kidney failure. And unfortunately, one bite can result in multiple tick infections or illnesses, and many tick-borne diseases can have similar signs and symptoms, but can vary in severity from mild to life-threatening. So we really need to be alert and know some of the symptoms. Some of them include fever and chills. With all tick-borne illnesses, patients can experience aches and pains. Tick-borne symptoms including headache, fever, fatigue, muscle aches and pains. With Lyme disease, you can experience joint pains. And rash is also sometimes present.
Mm-hmm. And tick-borne illnesses, as I understand it, are both viruses and bacteriological. Can you tell our listeners about, give our listeners an overview of what some of the tick-borne illnesses are that they should be aware of and how much of a problem it is in New York State, right here in Ulster County?
Yeah, sure. So each year, more than 300,000 cases of Lyme disease are reported to the CDC, making it the most commonly reported tick-borne illness in the United States. The new estimate suggests that the total number of people diagnosed with Lyme disease is roughly 10 times higher than the yearly reported number. And this basically has been shown to be between 3 to 12-fold higher than the number of reported cases. So ultimately, we know that routine surveillance only gives us a part of the picture and that the true number of illness is much greater, which points to the tremendous public health problem in the United States and highlights the urgent need for prevention. In Ulster County, data over a 10-year period shows between 350 and 800 confirmed cases per year of Lyme disease. Our rate is around 79 per 100,000 population compared to New York State's rate of around 29 per 100,000 population for the years 2016 through 18. And some of our co-infections, like anaplasmosis, we see between 5 to 80 confirmed cases per year in Ulster County. For babesiosis, we have noted between 1 and 25 confirmed cases per year in Ulster County. For ehrlichiosis, we see between 2 to 8 confirmed cases. Rocky Mountain spotted fever, we see between 1 and 3 confirmed cases in Ulster County per year.
So relatively speaking, how serious are these various diseases and what are the treatment options available?
They're varying severity from, you know, debilitating illness to mild illnesses to death. So we really want people to work with their doctor and begin treatment as soon as possible. Lyme disease is a bacterial infection, and it can lead to serious health problems. Patients treated early with antibiotics, though, usually recover. So if you suspect that you have Lyme disease or other tick-borne illnesses, we suggest you become well-informed and consult with your healthcare provider as soon as possible to determine the testing and care that's right for you.
And generally speaking, I guess with all diseases, right, your immune health is really critical in warding off all diseases, correct?
Oh, for sure. You know, but unfortunately, these are bacteria and viruses that are really tricky and do require appropriate medications as soon as possible to help people feel better. So we want people to work with their doctors if they're not feeling well or if they even know that they've had a tick encounter.
Stacey, as you know, here at the Department of Health, we place a big emphasis on prevention, not only for Lyme disease, but for all health conditions. So tell us how tick-borne illnesses are spread and what people can do to help protect their families and avoid getting tick-borne disease.
So a few things that all ticks have in common are that they're generally active from April to November when the temperature is above 40 degrees and they feed on warm-blooded mammals, including humans, to survive. They live in moist, wooded, and grassy areas and rock walls where they perch and wait with extended arms to latch on to an unsuspecting host. So the way to protect yourself and family from becoming a host is to follow some practical and easy steps and integrate them into your daily routine. So when working, playing, or walking outdoors, you can use insect repellents and follow the label instructions carefully. You can stay on clear, well-traveled paths. You can avoid sitting or lying directly on the ground or on stone walls. You can cover up and wear tightly woven, light-colored clothing to spot ticks easily. You can wear closed-toed shoes and tuck your pant legs into your socks or boots and shirt into your pants, creating a barrier, and then keep long hair tied back. When you go back inside, bathe or shower as soon as possible within 2 hours to wash off or find any ticks that may have attached to you. And most importantly, check everyone for ticks multiple times per day, including pets, and always at the end of every day. Remove all ticks promptly and promptly.
And then there are resources available on the Health Department website and New York State Department of Health website on how to remove ticks properly. Also, one of the things that I do around my house is I make sure that I clear all of the brush away from the house and keep the grass nice and trimmed as short as I can, especially where my daughter goes out and plays and other kids. So I think that that's really important as well, is it not?
Oh, definitely. Definitely helps to make your living space around your home less hospitable to ticks.
Is that because ticks like to be in tall grasses or in, you know, places where moisture can accumulate?
Yeah, that's right. You know, keeping your grass short, making a mulch moat around your property is really helpful because it creates a physical barrier that's dry and sometimes hot, and that's something that ticks can't tolerate. It also serves as a visual reminder to anyone in your household to be especially careful once they step past the perimeter.
I've seen some where people too, also where they put up swings for the kids, where they'll put a bed of gravel down underneath, you know, or underneath the play area, just to kind of keep the, you know, keep the vegetation out where ticks could be hiding, waiting.
Yeah, I think mulch would be a good option as well, a little softer, but for sure you want to keep the tall grass and weeds at a distance so that the ticks aren't, you know, going to be comfortable being on your property, because they do tend to dry up in like bright sunny areas. So eliminating the habitat is critical.
And you said before too, making sure to include pets in those tick checks too, right? Because they can carry ticks into the home.
Yeah, for sure. Because once the tick is on the pet, it would prefer to have the blood meal from the pet. But if it rubs up against the couch, it could be looking for another blood meal from whoever, you know, it latches onto next. They don't just kind of take one sip off of your dog and then move on to somebody else. They, once they latch on, they like to stay feeding for
the buffet, huh?
Well, they like to keep feeding for like 4 to 7 days to complete their next life cycle, which for a female would be laying an egg sac.
Wow. So you talked previously about repellents, but and we want to learn more about what repellents people should be using. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
This is a public service announcement from the New York State Smokers Quitline. For a limited time and while supplies last, we are offering up to 3 months of nicotine gum free for those looking to quit smoking or vaping. Shipping is included. Most will qualify for the offer. Tell your family and friends who smoke or vape to call 1-866-NY-QUITS or 1-866-697-8487 or visit nysmokefree.com to apply for the nicotine gum today.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and today we're talking about tick-borne illnesses, Lyme disease, and others with Stacy Kraft, who's our public education coordinator and our resident tick expert. If you go into Stacy's office, you'll see a lot of tick paraphernalia all over. Not too scary, but she knows her stuff. Hey, Stacy, before the break, you were talking about people using repellents according to directions as a way of keeping ticks off. Can you give our listeners an overview of those?
Sure. So I am really excited about this new guide from the Northeast Regional Center for Excellence in Vector-Borne Diseases. They just released a brief guide which highlights the most effective insect repellents to help keep you and your family safe from ticks and mosquitoes. And what I like about it is the last page has a very user-friendly chart which outlines the most effective options, and you can find it in English and Spanish, and we will put that up on our BTIC free website for folks to check out. We also recently put a post on our social media about it, but whether you use repellents or not, tick checks that are done multiple times per day are still advised to help spot any ticks that may have latched on. And so on this chart, it shows that D is an option, Picardin. These are active ingredients. There's also something called IR3535 and oil of lemon eucalyptus. Another one that I really like is an acaricide called permethrin, and that one will actually kill ticks when they come in contact with the clothing that you treat with the active ingredient. It's really fabulous for shoes, so I always apply that to my and my family's closed-toed shoes, but it's good for pants and tents and other fabrics. You just have to be wise to know that while it's wet, it is toxic to cats. Once it dries, though, there's no problem with it.
Right. I spray everyone's shoes at home with that as well, and I always, like, I do it every 3 weeks on my shoes that I use out when I go out in the yard to work in the garden or to do, you know, whatever, cleaning up the yard, landscaping, what have you.
Yeah, and the fabulous thing about it is, depending on the brand you buy, it can last for 5 to 7 washes on clothing. And there's even companies that you can send away the clothing to treat them, and you get it back and you can have up to 70 washes. Wow. Where it's, you know, effective.
Wow. So the big difference is that they kill the ticks dead versus just repelling them. That's, I think, the big difference, right?
Yes. Yeah, it does. It does help a lot. And it's good against mosquitoes, ticks, fleas, black flies, human lice, and chiggers. Not that we have chiggers around here.
Not COVID, though?
Not COVID.
Oh, man.
I wish.
So, Stace, okay, so you've done everything you're supposed to do to prevent getting a tick on you or a family member, and you've been really conscientious with your daily tick checks. And now, in one of your checks, you discovered a tick on family member or yourself. Now what?
Okay, well, first, don't panic. Make sure that you have the right tools for the job. So here at the health department, we recommend that everyone have 3 things on hand. One, you're going to have the remover. So that could be either the fine needle nose tweezers or a tick twister. 2, you'll have the rubbing alcohol to disinfect the site of the bite and the instrument that you used. You could also use soap and water, but we like the rubbing alcohol to really kill the germs. And a small sealable plastic bag or zip top bag to put your tick in after you've removed it. And that will allow you to have it identified. So then second, you're going to make sure that you've spotted all of the ticks that need to be removed, because sometimes when you have one, you might have others. So checking really carefully in the hairline, in the warm, moist spots, like underneath your belt line, armpits, and all over. Then third, you're going to grasp the tick with a fine end of the tweezer as close as possible to where it's attached to the skin and lift it straight up firmly but gently. Don't squeeze the body of the tick, as this is likely to release the harmful germs that could be inside its body into yours. Then you want to place the tick in the sealed plastic bag for identification and immediately swab the area where it was removed with rubbing alcohol. I guess you could use a peroxide or the soap and water, as we discussed, and clean those tick removers properly afterwards. Then you want to write down the date and time that the tick was removed for further discussion with your doctor. And the health department does offer a free identification service to help determine what type of tick it is. We can't, though, tell you what pathogen it may have been carrying. But if you want more information about that, you can call me. My number is 334-5527.
That's great. So when you've removed the tick properly, then what do you do? Do you call your doctor right away? What's the next step?
Yeah, I would notify your health provider and ask them, you know, to make a note in your chart indicating the date and time that you or a family member were exposed to a tick bite. If your doctor recommends an appointment, here's what you need to bring and communicate with them. You want to have the tick saved so that the doctor can look at it and determine the next steps. So that if you have a dog tick, for instance, they can spread Rocky Mountain spotted fever and you wouldn't need the prophylactic dose for Lyme disease. But if you have a deer tick, then you could qualify for that prophylactic dose. And, you know, they could also decide when they're going to do a test for Lyme disease or if it's necessary based on how swollen the tick looks. You're also going to bring with you a list of any signs or symptoms that you're feeling. You know, if you have any fever or muscle or joint pains, headache, fatigue, or rash, if any. Generally, right after the removal, you know, we don't see those symptoms. They appear around the 3 to 30 days post-tick bite. But if you've had a deer tick attached I talked about the prophylactic dose, and this is a treatment of doxycycline antibiotics given to prevent Lyme disease from developing. It's an Infectious Disease Society of America treatment guideline for those 8 years and older that are not allergic to doxycycline. This prevention dose is only effective for preventing Lyme disease and when given within 3 days of tick removal. It's very important that the prevention dose is used correctly and it is not taken beyond the initial 3 days after tick removal, as it can delay the development and detection of antibodies for testing purposes. If you do develop the signs of Lyme disease, then often the doctor will want to give you a longer course of antibiotics to fully eliminate the bacteria.
Can you, and I know you, obviously ticks are part of our natural environment that we cherish so much here in the Hudson Valley. Tell us, go over those prevention tips once again, because I think it's really important that people be able to enjoy the outdoors while still taking sensible precautions. Can you just quickly go over those tips again before we have to close the program, and then you'll give us your contact info?
I wanted to also talk about a product that consists of cardboard tubes that are stuffed with cotton and treated with the permethrin, which is the tick-killing chemical. So it's pretty neat. The mice actually collect the cotton and take it back to their nests, and the permethrin binds to the oils on their fur, which kills any ticks that try to attach without harming the mice. And that's reducing the amount of ticks with the Lyme disease bacteria in the environment. So, you know, it's important that we try to learn about the new prevention methods that are working to break the transmission cycle of Lyme disease in the environment. And mice do play.
Developed. We talked to Dr. I forget his from the
Osfeld.
Yeah, Dr. Mm-hmm. Osfeld from the Carey Institute in Millbrook, and they're developing some really interesting natural fungicides to kill ticks, actually, and completely non-toxic. Very interesting. I actually used it on my yard after we did that show with him, and they've seemed to have disappeared.
Yeah, that's really showing promise. And you can hire a pest control company to help manage, you know, your yard and apply these things correctly. Mm-hmm. But that is known as MET52 and is showing promise. Right. Another prevention tip that I do for myself and my family is a layering approach of the repellents. So where I have the permethrin treated on the shoes, then from about the ankles up to our waist, we'll spray something like Picardin or oil of lemon eucalyptus. And this can create a barrier, like a shield that keeps those ticks from wanting to get onto us. Mm. So we really recommend that, and you just want to read the label carefully to know, you know, who it's for. For instance, the oil of lemon eucalyptus is good for children 3 and older, and is okay for skin. And the Picardin is highly effective. It lasts, you know, 3 to 10 hours, depending on the concentration. That's also, you know, fine to use on children 2 months and older. Right. So. These things really do help.
Right. And this information is all available on the Health Department website. Can you give us that website and also your phone number once again, because we are very much running out of time?
Okay. Yep. If you just Google Be Tick Free Ulster County, you'll come up to our website, and I can be reached at 845-334-5527, and I'm happy to talk strategies and prevention more with anybody who's interested in learning more about this. And
wonderful. Well, all of you enjoy the great outdoors. We live in a beautiful place, whether you're visiting or live here. But, you know, be sensible, use common sense precautions to keep you and your family safe. And that's all the time we have today. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.